Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 88 of the Beacon Serenity podcast. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Emelson, and I am joined by my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we are going to be talking a lot about the upcoming release of 915. We're going to be recapping that, talking about the Mage Tower, which came up for testing on PTR this week. But before we get into either of those things, this has been both of our first week of Reclear, right?
Second for me.
Second.
Yeah, second. Kind of full clear for me. But yeah, just started. So no, it went about the same as last week.
I guess it's second for me too. I forgot because we had half week last week.
Yeah, but probably the first week you put like the full time into it. So
yeah.
No, we went through it. Typical problems in Painsmith and Fatescribe actually for us. I don't know, it's weird. I don't like the Painsmith stuff is just us playing bad, I think, in general. Like a lot of people just die into like the easy avoidable stuff, and I think we just need to not mess around when we start that boss, I'll say. And then Fatescribe is just like I don't know how we die on that boss anymore. It's like not even like missing, it's like people dying to like, to be fair, it's getting to that in the second phase. It's that one bad overlap of bombs and the lines thing, the beams or whatever, that just like, I don't know, people lose their heads and like run bombs where the boss is going and just blow people up, or like, or just like die to the beam themselves. We just don't have reses because we do the burn strat in phase three, so we technically need everybody alive. But eventually got Fatescribe down and ended up getting KT down fairly early and had about an hour on Sylvanas. And actually, to be fair, had two deep phase three wipes, with one onto the final platform, wiping at like 47, 46.5%.
So close.
Yeah, like super close, but just ran out of time. It's going better. I think, you know, Painsmith was probably like 30 minutes earlier kill this week. Fatescribe, you know, probably 15, 20 minutes earlier. So we're getting things down quicker. Yeah, but still, those two are going to be our problem bosses, I think, as we go through this.
Yeah. So this is, of course, halfway through my raid week. So we've got raid tonight. Last week we re-cleared the first five bosses and then didn't even try Painsmith. Like, we were only doing half a week. We started late, so we did the first five in like 2 hours and then just called it a night. So this week we did the first five in like 2 hours and then spent 2 hours on Painsmith. And we have the extra like difficulty modifier this weekend that we are raiding without a warlock. Soul Rider without a warlock, surprisingly doable. I was impressed. The warlock gateway is very valuable there, but it is also super doable without a warlock.
That's good.
Painsmith, that warlock gateway is actually incredibly useful. Like, so good. People get to just skip two whole waves in the intermission, and that's really like skipping two whole waves and guaranteeing the adds are stacked. That's like huge. So we tried doing the second row strategy for Painsmith?
Yeah, it's one that we do. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I was trying to remember if I got it from you or if we talked about it. Yeah. So we tried it. We're going to be making some changes, making somebody play an alt warlock tonight, or previous main warlock, but it's complicated.
Yeah.
And going back to our original strat, because what we found is that the second row strategy is very reliable if everybody moves, like learns the timing for the movement. To start moving. If you're even, you know, a second late, then you're probably just dead.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to be able to get through the gap. It is critical to get that movement in. Somebody was supposed to post an announcement. I don't know if it's been done yet. We are going back to the other strategy for it. We tried that just because you don't need a warlock.
Yeah, you just run back and forth. Yeah,
you just run back and forth. The adds always end up stacked because the whole rate is stacked the whole time. So we tried that because of that, but we're gonna bully somebody into playing warlock. So we are going to be We're going to be doing the old strat and just Warlock Gate.
Yeah, I don't mind the second row strat on Painsmith. I think for me, it makes the movement much more consistent in terms of like fire spawns, you move, fire spawns, you move, right? I will tell you the first time we had a random, because the fires don't always spawn on players, we had a random fire spawn in our pathway. The
entire raid just like
freak out. Yeah. And I mean, the idea is at that point, you can literally run through it. Everybody can survive.
So
generally,
we had a pull where we had random fire spawn just in front of us as we're going. And we already had that happen once. So people knew just keep on going, let it hit you. It's fine. Yeah. And then we had it happen again and it just killed four people.
Yeah. Cause if it happens back to back, you're screwed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That sucks.
So.
Nice. Well, yeah, I mean, hopefully you get Painsmith down and then you get to clear the final three. At least the biggest thing for us, the thing that we wanted the most was just the skip, right?
Yeah.
To get your KT.
That's our goal for this week is like, we want to get through KT. And honestly, the only real question mark is how long Painsmith is going to take us.
Yeah.
The other thing. So I hate raiding the Warlock. I say we spent 2 hours on Painsmith. Probably half of our time on Painsmith was waiting for somebody to run back. Because we didn't have a soulstone.
And
the checkpoint is on the ass end of the instance.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I honestly do not understand their raid design.
In terms of
the checkpoint is so far away.
The checkpoint there is then, is it the elevators by the nine? Like, where is...
It is at the top of the elevators by the nine.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I thought. That's ridiculously far.
Yeah. It's like a 2 or 3 minute run.
Yeah.
So if you have a 3 or 4 minute Painsmith wipe, then a like 3 minute run back while you're waiting for your shaman or whoever to finish running back. And then like a couple minutes of setup, you're less than half your time is actually spent pulling the boss.
Yeah. And that's awful.
That's another reason that we decided to just like, we're getting a Warlock in here. Like making whatever comp changes are required to get us a Warlock in the raid. Yeah. Like health stones are good. Warlock Gateway is pretty good on that fight, but oh my God,
the run. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. It was awful.
That sounds terrible. Oh man. All right. Well, hopefully you get them down tonight. You get that KT kill. Cause then that's the biggest thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were excited this week to get them down. So
I tried to cross my fingers and I realized I shouldn't do that. Cause I jammed one of them in it.
Oh God. Oh no.
Anyway, we had some other stuff happen this week. Some of which I actually missed. So some of this is new to me too.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So I think the first thing is Blizzard announced basically bulk character transfers, and a bundle, I guess they called it the bulk character transfer bundle. Looks like basically you can move multiple characters from a single realm to another realm at a discounted price.
It better be heavily discounted.
Yeah, because I mean, it already you're what? It's like $25 a transfer, or maybe it's 15.
Yeah,
like between 15 and 25 or something like that, which is already a lot of money. And like, as someone who, like, I remember the amount of actual money I spent to go Horde and from Alliance to Horde, and also transfer servers, which was like probably spent close
to
the end of the day.
$55, $60 to do that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It was awful. So I mean, like bundled transfer seems cool. I don't know. They haven't really put any more details out of it other than it's like a discounted realm to realm character transfer, which I'm assuming
this is necessary.
Yeah.
I have had people tell me that they are not like when I'm trying to do recruitment for my guild, I've had people tell me that they will not leave, you know, Area 52 or Bleeding Hollow. Some of it's because those are the big realms, but some of it is because I have 10 characters on this realm and I like playing them and I don't want to not be able to actually send stuff between them. Like I've got, you know, a character that I use for auctions and character that I use for gathering, and I don't want
the profession stuff and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to spend $250 transferring them to your backwater server.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to realize like after a couple months it doesn't work out and I have to spend the exact same amount of money to move everything back. Yeah. No, yeah. So I mean, hopefully this is, we'll see how much they actually discount and like how they actually do the pricing, right?
What I would like to see them do is like basically what I would like to see them do is just say it's, you know, $25, you can transfer as many characters as you like. And then also like reduce the price of the base transfer fee at this point, because it's honestly insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking like a fixed price. You basically mark two realms you want to transfer between, and just a fixed price to move everything.
Yeah.
Right. Which would be cool. If they could put that together.
Yeah. And if they did the same thing for faction transfers too, Alliance would be dead tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, or the other way, right? Like the idea is too, is like if you have some of those hardcore Alliance folks, maybe it'll be easy for them to pull people, right? So
I doubt it.
I also doubt it, but like, look, you can dream, you know what
maybe
I mean?
Maybe if they made them free to transfer from Horde to Alliance.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, so bulk character transfers, that'll be interesting as the game sort of slowly, I feel like the game is consolidating itself. Like we're finally starting to see like the numbers dictate the fact that maybe we have a couple too many realms, right? If you want to be able to move a little bit easier. So next up was actually a little bit of a classic WoW thing, not retail, but basically what they did. So we have the new classic Season of the Mastery, which is that idea of like a year long set schedule for a season of going through classic WoW with like a couple changes, right? Like more experience from certain things, you can level faster and like the content's released on a certain schedule. They've added support in game for basically like the old, what we would call Iron Man's, right? But the idea of playing a character in a hardcore fashion from a WoW perspective. So have you ever played like hardcore Diablo or hardcore like Path of Exile, any of those type of games? Basically, it means like when your character dies, it is dead and you no longer can play it anymore. So the idea here is they've basically, there's always been a community around trying to level to 60 hardcore. Essentially, if you die, your run's over and you start again. So Blizzard's added sort of in-game support. It was a little light when I read through it and checked it out, but it sounds like you basically can speak to somebody in game, get a buff, and that buff is displayed on your character so people know, hey, yes, I have not died, or I'm a quote-unquote hardcore, you know, character, right? Then when you do die, you essentially lose it.
And you get a minor stat debuff.
Yeah, and I think you can get rid of the buff by like speaking to the NPCs that give you the original buff to sort of say you're going through the Iron Man. So there's a way to remove it's like what, 1% stats, which is fairly minor in the grand scheme of things. So, but that can be removed. That's not something you'll keep the rest of the time. So,
they also did think of, you know, what happens if someone, you know, dies a bunch, levels to 59, and then goes and gets the buff. It applies the Tarnished Soul buff, the debuff. If you have ever died on that character, even if you've never gotten the Soul of Iron or whatever it's called, of Iron buff, so you can't cheese it,
which is cool. Yeah, so this is sort of it's only in Season of the Mastery right now, but it's cool that they are starting to like do a sort of like classic plus type systems. Right, where it's not like, it's still classic WoW, but there's like these little things that people used to do and they're starting to like, I'm not going to say legitimize them, that's probably the wrong word, but they're sort of starting add to support. Add support, that's right, add support for them in the game. So this is cool if you're
I think this is really cool. I've actually done some of the Iron Man kind of characters. That's actually my main now is named Eisenpelt's Iron Fur because it originally was one.
Oh, nice.
And I mean, I was playing on a PvP realm and died at like level 30 or 40 or something and just kept leveling it. But I did keep doing, there's a list of conditions for doing it on retail that was like no spec. Oh, okay. Originally back in Cataclysm, it was no spec, no talents. You used like gray gear kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
And nowadays you can't actually, I mean, you technically, I think you have to, I think you, your character starts with a spec now.
They do, yeah.
So you can't do that. You can do no talents, but it doesn't mean much because the talents are so, like some classes it does mean something, but it's not like talents are a big deal these days. But the reason back in Cataclysm that there was no talents is because certain classes like Marksmanship Hunter, if you took their talent tree, you got this ability. They would one-shot basically anything you looked at funny. Good times.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So yeah, so this is cool, like added support for stuff like this. And it, I'd like to see more of this in like Season of the Mastery turn, like maybe not, because I feel like a lot of private servers sort of turned WoW into the sort of similar to like a Diablo style, or you know, those action RPG style games where you have like a season, or you have a set amount of time where you do something, and once you've gotten to the end, you're sort of like, okay, I'm ready to reset and go next, right? Essentially. Yeah. So adding the support sort of to the server seems cool. We'll see how it lays out. And they did make one other sort of adjustment to Season of the Mastery, which was they've made some adjustments around mage boosting, mage power leveling, basically. So a bunch of instances now, the mobs in them, basically after you fight them for 30 seconds, gain immunity to snares, meaning you can no longer slow them. After an additional 30 more seconds, they'll gain immunity to roots. So you can still hard CC them with like a stun or a sheep or anything like that. But they will start to, you know, be immune to snares. You can't, essentially, the way that this worked from a power leveling perspective is you get a frost mage to just blizzard constantly over and over thing, or like Kona Cold, basically keep mobs extremely slow while you just sit there and soak up the XP. So they basically made a bunch of adjustments to the dungeons that was most prevalent in, which was Strathholm and Maradon, to basically stop this practice from happening. So you won't see power leveling mages too much anymore in Classic, which is generally a good thing. And this has, I'd say, very limited impact on like your group play. So it's a pretty cool change.
Especially since, so the development note clarifies that the intent is that the aura that grants the slow and root immunity gets reset when you use one of the hard CCs on them. So if you're like just doing it in a regular group, mm-hmm. you're going to be mixing in other CCs like Polymorph, or you know, blinds or something like that, in there with your roots and snares, and it'll be fine. You will never actually trigger these conditions. So yeah, this is good. This is going to mean that this Season of the Mastery stuff is a little bit more of a level playing field. There's not going to be a bunch of people reaching level 60, you know, day one. Or I guess it's going to be more like, you know, day two or day three, where like somebody leveled the mage and then power leveled the entire rest of their guild.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like, yeah, it'll be a little bit, they'll remove sort of this aspect of it. You kind of have to play through the game now. I'm assuming there's probably others, you know, strats already set up to like get around this, right? But I think at least the easier ones will be blocked off, so, which will be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like, I mean, it sounds like they're putting some work into this Season of the Mastery thing, which will be fun for once they release it, we get a chance to play it. So
yeah, I don't know I don't think we want to spend too much time on this, but this is a fun note here. Adjustments made to enemies in Onyxia's Lair and Molten Core. All creatures have had their health increased.
Yeah. Which is nice, considering the other point of that too, is that they've basically brought back a lot of early versions of those fights, basically moving or adding back in abilities that were there initially, because there was a ton of tune. I think what they said is they used like the only version of the game they had was the final 1.12 patch, which would have contained a bunch of nerfs too, like just over the year, I guess. Well, how long was,
I mean, it was like, the year like as a comparison, like there's a bunch of stuff this tier on Sylvanas, for example, or on Painsmith that's been straight up like removed. Stuff like Painsmith, the unpassable spike wall, it's gone now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I mean, it's it again, sort of trying to bring, I guess, more difficulty. So this isn't going to be, it sounds like their goals here, right, is to basically try and make a more difficult version of Classic WoW, right? Particularly focused on the rating scene, which I think is what most people who play Classic focus on, right? When they play. So no, it'll be cool. It'll be fun to see. All right, one final piece before we get into the sort of the main topic today, is we finally released our Overwatch, I guess, so not WoW related, but still around Blizzard Games. The Overwatch team released the new name of Jesse McCree, which is going to be Cole Cassidy. So basically, you know, this was sort of Jesse McCree was sort of one of the Blizzard people sort of named and sort of around some of the like harassment and that type of stuff that has been sort of made public over the past couple of months with Blizzard, and with Blizzard sort of making a public statement to remove anything that has been named after an individual, you know, that has, you know, and move towards just names that don't represent actual people. Cole Cassidy is the new sort of hero, new name for McCree. So
yeah,
very much a Western. I feel like old Cole Cassidy.
I have honestly watched like a single Western in my entire life, so I'm not really the right person to rate cowboy names. How does this? Where does this fall on like the cowboy name spectrum?
I mean, probably pretty well. I'd say
like the last thing that's recognizable is like what Butch Cassidy and stuff like that.
Yeah. So that's very much got like the Butch Cassidy sort of invoking that a little bit, and then you've got Cole Cassidy, a little alliteration in there. Cole, I feel like Cole is much more a Southern U.S. name, which is where a lot of the cowboy stories come from. So yeah, not many of my friends growing up in the Northeast were named Cole. I'll say. So,
I know a few Coles.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, I think it hits. I don't know what I didn't actually think of the Butch Cassidy thing. Yeah. I mean, and then it hits really well. So yeah, I'd say, you know, I'd give it probably 8-ish out of 10, 7.5 out of 10 in terms of cowboy names. It's solid.
It's solid.
But yeah, no, we got a new name for old McCree, which will be interesting to see how well. The funny thing is, it'll be interesting to see how well they do from like a player in game and like announcement perspective. Cause like the interesting thing when you've ever renamed characters is like the other game that I know a lot about where they've done this is Dota 2 and Dota. So a lot of the characters in the original Dota were based on Warcraft 3 heroes. So they retained their Warcraft 3 hero name.
Yeah.
Right. And then when Blizzard and Valve had the little lawsuit spat a couple of years ago, basically, Valve had to basically remove any name, like any sort of traditional name that would or proper name that was a part of the War 3 franchise. But people still to this day, like will represent certain characters. Like one character was a Wisp, was like the, if you've ever played War 3, it's like the Wisp in the trees. Like that was their character model. People still call it Wisp today. Its actual name is Io in Valve terms, but like people still refer to it as Wisp. You also have like Skeleton King. Which was like, you know, actual Skeleton King. So it'll be interesting to see how well this name hits. But Cole Cassidy, I mean, McCree Cassidy.
I feel like the community is going to be a little bit more open to this rename.
Yeah.
And they might be to like, no, nobody is happy when, you know, a lawsuit, like an IP trademark lawsuit forces them to change character names.
Yeah.
That's just kind of a, nobody wants to deal with that. This is a little bit different situation. So I feel like people are maybe going to be a little bit more open to it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think it'll hit. I think it'll probably catch on fairly quickly. So, but yeah, now we've got a new rename, a new McCree. So it's Cole Cassidy. So it'll be fun. I don't know. I have not played Overwatch in about a year. So
we have some people that still play it somewhat regularly in Guild.
Gotcha.
It's still a good hero shooter. Still pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I think that wraps up the stuff from the week, except for the 915 stuff, which do you wanna like rapid fire all the different 915 stuff?
So a couple things that happened this week, I guess, on 915. The biggest thing is we got a release date. It's November 2nd. So it'll be
a week and a half from now.
Yeah, about a week and a half. When this goes live, about a week from when this goes live. If you're not watching it already live. So about a week from now we'll get the patch dropped. And so I did basically went through and checked off all the notes. There's a bunch of stuff that I forgot about. So I think the big thing that happened this week was, and I think this will be probably what we talk about second, maybe after we do this rapid fire thing, is like they did finally put Mage Tower on the PTR and gave us 24 hours to test it, which is cool. But maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later, and we'll go through some of the rapid fire stuff that they've added in terms of quality of life and other things. So I'll run through these quickly. If there's anything you want to touch on or stay on a little bit, let me know. Yeah. But the first is AoE cap removed. Yep. Forgot. I to be fair, I think we were talking about this before the show. I forgot about this.
Yeah, I'm honestly also like this doesn't affect me at all because I'm a tank.
Yeah, as a healer, it doesn't really hit on me either. But yeah, AoE caps removed, which I guess awesome for
actually DPS players. This is gonna be. I can't wait for the Mythic Plus time walking. And doing people trying to do the stupid pulls in the Maw or in Maw Souls.
Oh yeah.
And their stuff's gonna be not AoE capped. My true. Stuff's not gonna be AoE capped either, but my threat's gonna suck.
Yeah. Yeah, those big pulls it'll be interesting to see how they work. So yeah, AoE caps removed. Cool. There is now basically once you hit renowned 80, which you would have been able to hit this week if you've been keeping up. With one covenant, you can now freely swap between any of them, and you'll keep the cosmetics for any covenant you have at 80.
Yep.
So nice quality of life change once you hit 80 on one, be able to freely swap between all of them on one character. And I think too, the cosmetics apply to other of the cosmetic items will also apply to your alts as long as you reach 80 with one covenant on your alt. So you still have to reach 80, but the idea is like if you have a, I think the example that's they give in the notes. Hard. Yeah, but I think they have in the notes, it's like if you have a Night Fae Druid and then you level A that hits 80 with Night Fae and you have a Necro Lord Rogue and that Rogue hits 80, the Rogue will get the Night Fae transmox, you know?
Yeah.
So it's cool little there.
This is great. I have a very angry tweet from last year from December when initially on launch, you could still use the Hearthstone toys even after you switched covenants. So I had the Night Fae Hearthstone toy. And that worked until like middle of January. And it just like turned off, just like unannounced hotfix. It is really, really annoying that they turned that off because I didn't really want to swap off of Night Fae, but like I needed to in order to do PvP as Windwalker.
Right.
But yeah, so very happy that I'm going to be able to use that again.
Nice. So that's cool that the cosmetics are all coming back. They then have conduit energy being removed, which this was the big one. Again, I'd also forgotten about this because I literally don't interact with the system at all. So conduit energy is removed. For those of you swapping specs and swapping conduits, congratulations. You can do it at will now.
You know what else sucks when you don't have a warlock in raid? Total aside. Having people have to go back to their order hall to swap conduits.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, that would all. Yeah, no warlock.
Get yourselves a warlock, folks.
I feel like warlock's almost mandatory now. Next up, you can destroy legendary items and refund their cinders and ash costs, which are cool. So you don't get the base item back. You don't get any of the like gems if you would have put it in it. I guess you could remove. No, you couldn't remove those gems.
You can't remove.
Yeah, so you lose like the gems and stuff like that. But you'll at least get the soul cinder, soul ash. So if you were swapping around a bunch of times, or wanted to just like move one, like not run Torghast a bunch and still change the legendary, you can do that now.
Cool. Yeah.
We're gonna skip the next couple of notes. So next up, we have cooldowns longer than 2 minutes are now being reset at the end of any encounter at the start of Mythic Plus dungeons. This was 3 minutes, so that is, you know, cool.
So we have a running joke in my guild. We have an Unholy DK. Unholy DKs have 2 minute cooldowns that they use as part of a bigger, like, because they're one of the specs that still has like the piano setup where they hit like 5 cooldowns to do their big like damage.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it was, but every time we wiped on Sylvanas, he would go, I need a minute. Or I need 90 seconds. It was just like every single time. So that's not going to happen anymore. His cooldowns are going to reset.
That's awesome. Yes. It'll be fun. It'll be nice. I think they mentioned too, like the longer ones, like, the ones that haven't typically reset ever aren't going to do it. So like Shaman Reincarnate isn't going to reset, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, it would be super good if it did. I kind of wish it would, because then it would be a lot closer to actually just being a cheat death.
Yeah.
But it would also be extremely good for cheesing fights.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, if you could just stack them. Yeah. Yeah, so 2 minute cooldown resets now. It's good. You can now also solo queue for islands. So if you want to go back and get a bunch of transmog stuff from islands, the BFA islands, you can do that now. You can solo queue for them. I will never go back into those.
No, I'm done with them.
Yeah. They've added armor specific Korthia armaments. So basically, if you remember, the Korthia armaments would give you a random piece of eye level 200 gear. Now you can buy specific item slots. You can buy like a wrist piece of Korthia armament.
This is really nice for alts. Alt gearing is not too bad right now with the just amount of loot from Mythic Plus.
Yeah.
You can get geared up relatively quickly as long as you've got a group. But sometimes you do get screwed and just never get boots or whatever. And this means that now you can just go and like buy some boots from the vendor and not be wearing your like 184 greens.
Yeah. Do you know the cost, the price cost on this stuff? I actually didn't check.
PCR it is 2000, whatever the old mod currency is. I want to call it darkness. It's not darkness.
Stygia.
Stygia. It's 200 or 2000 Stygia.
Gotcha. Okay. That's not too bad, actually. They've also added, or not added, but they've upped the Soul Cinders drop rate in Torghast, and also upped the drop rate of Shard of Domination sockets. So basically just like you will get more Soul Cinders now, for running Torghast, and then you should have all your, you know, Dom sockets, fairly quickly. They've done a lot of drop rate stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
In terms of that, so.
There's also, so when it comes to Torghast, I guess this is kind of skipping ahead, but every Torghast run gives the full amount of Soul Cinders and Soul Ash now.
Yeah.
Which is, it just means that you can spend like an afternoon getting your legendary now instead of having to spend like 15 minutes every week to get it.
Yeah. And with like, I think too, with like level, like with the renowned catch up stuff that is inherent to running Torghast, like you'll basically like be able to get all the materials you need to make your covenant specific legendary if you need, or like a different legendary that you might need to use if you're swapping covenants. So
this is honestly I think one of the best changes for like the systems they've got in place. This also kind of obviates the need for being able to like trash legendary items and build different ones, because you can just go get more Soul Cinders now. But yeah. I do really appreciate being able to just like sit down for an afternoon and do something. I actually did that yesterday in Final Fantasy. I worked on a relic weapon. I just did like the first stage of it. I just sat down, put on a movie, and like went through it.
Nice.
It was kind of nice. So yeah, you can't do that when the game demands exactly 30 minutes of your time once a week. It's like very awkward.
Oh yeah, no, that's for sure. So yeah, this will be it'll be a good catch up again. I think the name of the game here is like quality of life and catch up, because there's not too much actual content in this patch. So yeah, they've also added, so moving down a little bit, they've also added the warlock gate clicking item, is the way I described it. But like, it's essentially an item that if you use it, it will essentially use the closest warlock gate portal if there's one close to you.
Yes.
So it basically removes that weird interaction we had. We had to like focus one side of the gate, which I found out this week, actually, Emerson, fun fact, your focus is dependent on which side of the gate you focus, not that that you focus the gate at all. Did not realize that until this week.
Did you focus the wrong side of the gate on Paint
Smith? No, it was on, I think it was the chains for Soul Render, actually.
It's usually not a problem. We had a couple people run into that actually on Sylvanas, because the actual like clickable hitbox of the gateway is fairly large, which in theory means you can click it even when people are standing on it. In practice, you never actually can, which is why we do the mouse over thing. But the way it was specifically working on Sylvanas is we had some ranged that just didn't come all the way back in, and they were trying to focus the new warlock gateway, and because of how large the hitbox was, their mouse over would be the wrong end of the gateway.
And they
couldn't click it and they would die.
Yeah. It happened to me for like the first time. And then I realized why it was happening. I'm almost positive somebody else in my raid probably done it at some point on progression this time, but I just wasn't paying attention. But this will be cool. It'll be fun to like not free up a keybind, but not have to like focus and then make sure I do this. So I always forget to focus the warlock gate. So for
it's
me, it's
be
like
so nice.
For me, it's like on Painsmith as we hit that last gap, and then me remembering I didn't focus the warlock gate. So me like frantically trying to get over there to focus it with my mouse over macro, and then like making sure I can click it right. Yeah. So, so speaking of a couple other catch up things, so we talked a little about the Torghast catch ups, but they've also added catch ups to just in general like alts, right? So you now can send anima and a bunch of other currency to alts, which is good. There is an instant 40 renowned item available, which allows you to essentially, once you hit 80 on one character, you can buy an account bound item that gives you 40 renowned on any character you send it to, which is super cool. I'm trying to think if there's anything else in the this piece.
I mean, the Corthia progression stuff kind of ties into it, because it's just another way of it's kind of catch up. It's kind of like a lot of it applies to people doing it the first time as well, which is great because there's a lot of people that never went past tier four. Like a shocking number of people just gave up on it.
I did not, Emelson. I finally hit tier six a couple weeks ago.
Congratulations.
It was feel bad about doing it early.
I mean,
with a lot of I got it done. No, I actually don't feel bad, but
I still don't know if I'm going to bother with it, honestly. But
yeah,
I might hop in, do the weekly, and like just get the rest of my sockets and max out my conduits for next patch, because I don't really want to continue doing like one Torghast a week for the Deathbound Shard.
Yeah,
forever. Like. And it's then so end much. Up like two conduits short of everything at 252 for 9.2.
Yeah, it's so. I will tell you, the Corthia progression for that for conduits is so much easier than Torghast. Mm. Like you end up once you hit rank six, you end up. I think I did the math. You end up with like averaging like a conduit and a half at 252 each week, just based on like the relics you get. And even if you did, and that's with me, like after I hit tier six, what I stopped doing was any daily that didn't give me relic knowledge, I basically stopped doing. So I did just the dailies, I did relic knowledge, and I did the chest. And if I saw a rare or two, I'd kill him. But even then, you know, I would average basically about like, what is that, 4,500 to like 5,000 research a week. So, or relics a week. So,
yeah. Which I mean, I'm going to be, you know, if I hit rank six, I'm going to be hitting rank six with like 80,000. Relics to spend.
Yeah.
And so I'll be able to just get all the conduits. It won't matter.
So I also ended it that much. The problem was I didn't realize that I didn't. So I did it. Luckily, you can buy multiple of these items, bought all my items real quick. Little quick aside here. Went to my conduit thing and started using. I used like three. And then I realized I wasn't getting Mistweaver specific ones.
You were in Windwalker spec.
I was in Windwalker spec because I was just got done doing daily. So I got three Windwalker ones. And then swapped to Mistweaver and ended up being like too short, I think, from getting too few of all the ones I needed. So like, amazing. Then it was like, great. I had to like still grind like, you know, Corthia for a couple more, like a week after that or like, something like that. So
I think I have everything, like all three specs, 239 on everything. So I'm just like that's getting to 252 because of how much Torghast I've done.
Yeah.
So, You know, I'll hit rank six. I'll get everything to 252. It'll be good.
Nice. Just a couple more quick hitters here. They did update the rate of profession drops, so all the raw materials, so like mining nodes, skinning, all give about 20-30% more in terms of items, which probably helps a little bit in terms of the progression of your professions. But it's still, I don't think it helps enough for particularly on the rank six legendary items. So
yeah. This is a band-aid fix. It's actually going to be kind of like it's going to result in lower prices on the legendaries probably, but it doesn't fix the dramatic overtuning of like the leather legendaries.
Yeah. For how much
or it takes the whatever the two rank upgrade item for cloth being like ridiculous compared to the others, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like they heard people complaining about how expensive the leather legendaries were so expensive and how unfair it was that the cloth legendaries were so cheap, and the message that they got from that was we should make the cloth legendaries expensive.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, one quick thing on legendaries, which I didn't put in the quick notes here, but any dungeon specific rune carving recipes are now 100% drop rate.
Yes,
which is actually a really big change. So
yes, it means that while you're leveling up, you do a random dungeon, you're probably going to get a legendary rest. Actually, I don't know if you need to be level 60 or not. I think you'll get it while leveling. I'm not sure. But either way, it's going to be a single run to get your legendary. No more of this, I ran 80 normal plague falls and didn't get it because normal plague fall has like a asinine, basically 0% chance to drop it. And if you just done Mythic Plus, you would have got it in two keys.
Right. Or to be fair, like we've had people come into Mist Lounge and talk about doing like Spires of Ascension like 7-8 times on Mythic Plus, like 10-11 range and not seeing the recipe from the final boss, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. It's 100% across all difficulties. So technically you could hit, if it's only drops 60, you can hit 60, run a bunch of normals, right? Or do your Mythic Zero tour, like world tour for gear and get all your recipes. So yeah.
Yeah. Big change. So this is a good change. This is a good change. This is actually something. So a little bit of an aside, but like I mentioned, I was doing the relic weapon grinds on my character in Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised at how reliable the drops were. I needed a lot of drops.
Yeah.
I needed like 60 total, so it wasn't a small number. But I got one. It was like, so I was basically grinding bonus events. And as long as you got a, they do like bronze, silver, gold medals for how much you contribute. And as, if you're like actively involved with it, you basically always get the gold.
Gotcha.
So as long as you get the gold, you're guaranteed.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Imagine that.
So just participate and you get it. Yeah, that would be a nice slightly, you know, maybe a nice design change Blizzard could implement, you know. But that's funny. So, yeah. Yeah, that was that the legendary recipe drop rate was always to be fair, I will say that I was probably extremely lucky that I never hit this, right?
Yeah.
Like the ones that I like I think the one out of Spires I probably got on one of the first mythic pluses I ever did, like of the expansion.
Yeah.
Which was really the only legendary I think that I really needed out of dungeon. So
it took me a few runs to get my Charred Passions legendary recipe, but it's also the second one I was building in 9.0, so it wasn't a big deal.
Gotcha.
The other one came from the raid, I want to say. So I just like got it on normal the first week.
Yeah. Nice. So the only one final thing, which isn't, I just sort of threw these on here, but basically in an effort to curb like sell or run selling spam, basically now to post any sort of custom text in Group Finder, you need to have an authenticator attached to your account, which should slow some people down. Which is cool. So maybe I'm assuming we'll still see gold, not gold, but like run sales or like, you know, gearing sales for real money. But this will hopefully slow a little bit of it down. And the other really cool change, which I love this in games, by the way. But Blizzard's updated its feedback when you report someone. So if you report someone for like language or file a complaint or anything like that, you will now get feedback if action was taken against that person. You don't know what the action is, but you just get like a little pop-up that says like, thank you for your reports. We took action against somebody you reported. And then there's like,
yeah.
Yep. So
it does help. You know, you report one of the botters back in the day, you know, in Najitar, somebody botting the herbs there. Like it would have been nice to get like an email saying, yep, we took action and like 2+2, they banned them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
but the note about the authenticator thing. So the way this works, there's two options for authentication. I believe you can have a physical authenticator. Actually, they might have deprecated that, so there might only be one now. Or you can have the app on your phone.
Yeah, I think they've actually gotten rid of the physical one, at least in terms of like
they don't sell it anymore.
Yeah, you might still be able to have it if you had an old one, but yeah, I think they've moved everything over to like the phone app. So
yeah, but I don't think you can have more than one authenticator on your phone.
That's true. Yes.
So my other question would be like if you can connect the same authenticator to like multiple accounts, which I also don't know if it's possible, because the way it works is there's not supposed to be really communication between the two. That's kind of the point, that you can't connect the two. But I know Blizzard does have the, like, it'll pop up on your phone for you to hit the approve button.
Yeah.
When you log in. So I don't know. It might actually prevent you. Like this might basically be saying, you know, one phone per account, which is a pretty effective way of rate limiting like how many spam accounts you can have. So before we move on, Dimitri in chat asked, am I looking forward to doing big damage with Venthyr? The answer is no, I'm not gonna be playing Venthyr. I am going to be playing a little bit of Necrolord, playing a little bit of Night Fae. I will of course try out Venthyr. Maybe it's one of those things where it actually works better in practice than in theory. I am highly doubtful. So Brewmaster is one of the specs that actually does have a pretty good legendary. Like Charred Passions is a 10% damage increase just by itself, just the legendary. So giving that up in order to play Venthyr with the the Venthyr Legendary is like a big ask. And if you're not playing the Venthyr Legendary, your Fallen Order is significantly worse. So I am going to try it, but I do not have high hopes for it. But I am looking forward to being able to try Necrolord Brewmaster without having to just dedicate weeks to switching back to Vecurian after it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, I mean, I'll tell you that Venthyr, at least from a Mistweaver perspective, the damage buffs that they've given it are, like, minor at best. So, also, I think, I was reading today, I think the clones still suffer from the Renewing Mist bug, which resets their auto attacks. So, yeah. fun. I think they said they fixed that a while ago. I just don't think it ever, I don't think they got every edge case.
They probably rebroke it.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see, but we'll still be Venthyr, Mistweaver. So,
yeah, isn't it still? So, it's still a buff, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They haven't made it. That, well, that's the other thing. Maybe we should touch on this just really briefly. It's like this was supposed to be the tuning patch, right? And like, I've seen zero tuning. Like, other than the AoE cap
removal.
What do you
mean? You don't like the 3% Frostmage buff to two spells that only matter on single target?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Or, like, there was, what, a warrior change this week, too? Like,
yeah, their auto attack, it's actually kind of substantial. It's, like, a 4% damage increase.
Gotcha.
So it's not, it looks silly because it's just auto attack damage, but it is actually, like, an okay percentage buff. but, yeah, no, I totally get you there. Like, Blood Decay dearly needs some love on the damage front. Their damage sucks. Just yeah, Vengeance could use it too. It's actually, we're gonna get into the Mage Tower stuff, but the disparity in damage between tanks has actually been kind of funny. The Vengeance, well, let's get into the Mage Tower stuff. So we had Mage Tower testing this week, on Thursday, and they had a 24-hour period. You could hop on the PTR and test it out, so I didn't actually get to test it. I had other stuff going on, but I got to read the feedback from a lot of people who did test it. And the moral of the story is that if you've done the Tank Mage Tower in the past, it's basically the same. The main things that are different are that all the tanks have new different kits, basically. Velen is still a dumbass. The Phase Stalkers are still annoying and rippy. Getting knocked off the platform is still a problem for everybody except Vengeance Demon Hunters. And yeah, that about sums it up. But there, one of the things about the original Mage Tower for tanks is that there was a very large disparity in the amount of health that the bosses had for different tanks.
Depending on who your tank was, yep.
So Prop Paladins had the highest, because in theory they did the most damage, even though in Legion they didn't actually, in practice, do the most damage by the amount that they had, like, an extra 40 or 50% health on the bosses, but they didn't do 40 or 50% more damage than the other tanks. They still, Prop Paladin now actually does so much more damage than the other tanks. Maybe not so much without Ashen Hollow, but it still does enough more that they are justified in still having higher health than the other tanks. The Vengeance one also has the same amount of health.
Oh, no. That's not good.
That was not the case in Legion. The Vengeance one might have been on the higher end because Vengeance did do good damage. Vengeance damage now is ass.
Oh, yeah.
It's so bad. So that's something that hopefully is going to get changed before it goes live, because otherwise the Vengeance Mage Tower is just going to be like a 30-minute ordeal.
Oh man, I also did not get a chance to test it live. It's such a weird timing, because like Thursdays are raid nights for me, so like I had zero time outside of like getting under raid, and like still had work Friday, so like I didn't get a chance to actually test any of it. But again, similar feedback in terms of I heard a lot about the healer challenge. Is essentially like it's the same challenge. It's the only difference is your kit is slightly different in terms of how you approach it. But I mean, for Mistweaver specifically, like we didn't really gain or lose anything, right? So like the idea is like, you know, the same cooldowns you're going to use them the same way. And the encounter basically plays very much the same way it did back in Legion. So
Go ahead.
I was going to say there's a couple, I heard a couple of reports of just some of the orb damage in the second phase is a little high initially, if you, you can get a little bit caught out by it. But I mean, like in general, you know, the challenge is what it is. Also, just more broadly speaking, like the hard challenges are still hard. Easy challenges are still easy. Like I still think, what is it? The Windwalker one is still probably one of the easiest ones.
I heard it got tuned up a little bit.
Okay.
But that's good. Yeah, still one of the easier ones. I mean, mechanically, it was always one of the easy ones. It's, and now, you know, maybe it has a slightly higher DPS check because before the DPS check was a joke. But yeah, I think Brewmaster is actually one of the biggest beneficiaries of like new tools, new buttons. So back in Legion, Brewmaster was a one trick pony. You had Stagger. And that was basically like the whole reason that Brewmaster was good is Stagger. That was it. That was the whole thing. And Stagger was not good at the Mage Tower. Stagger was, in fact, very bad at the Mage Tower. There is almost zero upside. So now going back in and having a lot more tools that are not Stagger, it's a substantially different experience. In particular, so in Legion, we used to use the Invoke Niuzhao talent. Now that's baseline. So we get basically an extra talent, which is good. We also have Touch of Death, which I don't know if you've seen how much damage Touch of Death can do, but that's another big one. It really like reduces the damage requirement in the second phase. So that's much less of a DPS check for us. And then just generally like stuff like Celestial Brew, giving us a much better amount of sustain than we had back in Legion. In Legion, one of the other common strategies was to use a pair of legendaries that would give you more self-sustain. We can't do that now. Those legendaries are disabled. But yeah.
Nice. So. Yeah. I mean, they, and speaking of like just things that are end up being disabled, they had been, they kind of hot fixed things as they went along once it launched, which I thought was fun. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, essentially like they've basically turned off like almost all the Shadowlands systems. So like legendaries don't work, shards don't work. Conduits, Soulbinds, Covenant abilities, all are sort of disabled. And then the stuff that's been previously disabled is still disabled. So like Legion Legendary, you know, Legion Legendaries themselves and artifacts are still disabled. And so yeah, so
Heart of Azeroth and Azerite also got disabled. I think the Heart of Azeroth was briefly enabled during testing and that quickly got turned off.
Yeah, yeah. So like no essences plus no Azerite armor traits too. So yeah, so you're essentially walking in with your base class, which for some classes is going to feel weird if your Covenant ability is sort of a major part of either your rotation or like the way that you play your class. So that'll be, it'll be interesting to see some additional feedback as more and more of this opens up around like how people feel like the tower is. I think the biggest thing that this is going to be the biggest thing from a feedback perspective that I think people are just going to get wrong is a lot of people are going to be like, this is too easy. Or like, I remember doing this back in the day and it took me 90 pulls and I finally got it done after like 2 weeks of grinding. And, you know, I think in that regard, like they're not changing the challenges. So like, if you've done it once, you realize, like you might not remember specifically how you did it, but there's like a, there's a familiarity. There's like a muscle memory around like, okay, I know how to like do these parts.
I spent 100-something pulls the first time doing the Brewmaster Mage Tower, and then I went, and every other tank I did it on took me, like, 10.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that's the other thing. With Berthier in chat, basically, yeah, mentioning that sockets are not disabled, so you can still farm, like, old Legion socket gear. I think it's, like, what, item level 97 gear, I want to say.
And metagems also apparently work, so
yeah,
from way back in Burning Crusade.
Yeah.
So
I guess
I'm not going to, because I mean, we'll see how the tuning ends up. Maybe I will if the tuning ends up being pretty high, but I doubt it's gonna be necessary.
Yeah.
It very much like because of the eye level scaling on it, I very much doubt that's gonna be necessary.
Yeah. I think it'll definitely make some of them probably just easier, particularly if it's like there is a reward that I want personally, which is like if you do all seven challenges, you get a really cool looking mount. It looks like a spell book, basically. So maybe I end up doing that on like specific classes that like, or specific challenges, I'm sorry, that I don't have a class that I'm familiar with or have played really.
Yeah, just to make it a little bit easier. Yeah, that's true.
Easier in those instances, but like on my monk, I like any of the monk ones, any of the shaman ones, any of the probably like paladin ones, like those ones that hit those classes, I probably won't do anything different. But like sort of look, I was actually have it up right now, like looking at it, like maybe the one that's like Arms Warriors, Frosty K's, like the eye one, like I guess it's Closing the Eye and the Eye of Eternity one. Maybe I do that because I'm literally not familiar with any of those classes.
Maybe that one would be worth, because there is a little bit of a DPS check element where like it becomes much easier if you do more damage because you skip part of it, basically.
Gotcha.
But it's also one where I think when I did that one in Legion, the way that I died most often was just touching one of the glacial spikes that just one-shots you.
Gotcha. Okay.
So no amount of sockets is going to fix that.
Right, yeah.
It was just massive overkill. You could not overgear that and walk through it.
Nice. Yeah, so I mean, in that regard, I might do something like that, something a little crazy for that. But no, I mean, I think I'm excited to go back in and just do it again.
Yeah, me too.
I heard another interesting comment. This is probably on Twitter. I will not be able to remember to source the person that said it, but somebody was like, what if Blizzard... So looking through, like, essentially your class, like all of the add-on systems that have been added over the past couple of years are disabled while you're in Mage Tower, right? So what if Blizzard's using Mage Tower to basically collect feedback on how to better round out the classes for the next expansion? Meaning, like, this will be, like, their litmus test or the way that they collect feedback and data on, like, how certain classes play without all these random add-on systems added to them. Or like,
yeah, this is something as well where I know I saw people commenting that, like, some classes just feel incomplete without having the Shadowlands systems. Like, their coveted ability is so important to how the class plays. Like, Brewmaster is not one of them because, I mean... Brewmaster feels bad if you don't have the legend. Actually, okay, I take that back. Brewmaster feels bad if you don't have a legendary. The legendary is, like, the key piece. Because either you don't have a second charge or kick smash, or you don't have the charred passions to make Breath of Fire do anything at all. So you really want a legendary. Not having legendaries is kind of gonna suck. But it's still like, I can't imagine it being worse than that, actually. Like, what? I'm sure there are classes that are worse than that, but it kind of boggles the mind.
Yeah. So I thought that was a funny little comment that, like, yeah, Blizzard can use this to gain more data, or just say, like, more like player feedback in terms of like how these classes play and feel. I hope they don't, because, like, particularly on the healer challenge, to be fair, was so hard for Mistweavers back then because we did so little damage. And like, the idea was like, the healer challenge, while it was a component of what was healing it, like if you could do more damage, like with anything, you could push certain phases quicker and like
add, you'd have to do less healing.
Yeah, less healing. And like the biggest problem was, there was in the opening phase one, which is the hardest phase of the entire thing, you get like groups of mobs. I don't know if you ever did it.
I did.
You get like groups of mobs coming at you, and it's the mobs that fixate.
Yes.
So you had to do like enough damage to one of them before they would fixate, and you basically have to kite out the fixated one.
Yeah, and if you ended up having multiple of them fixating you at once, it was basically a wipe because you just you couldn't kill them. You had to get in melee to hit something.
You couldn't get close enough, or be fixated on you while a second one was fixated on a part of your party, and that part of your party person would end up dying because you couldn't heal them because you're running. So I mean it
Mistweaver's damage is better now.
I know it's bad. Mistweaver damage better, and I think we have enough tools where like we could probably push a couple buttons to like clean up that a little bit faster. So I would hope they wouldn't do that, because like, well, maybe that just means all the Haler damage gets buffed additionally. I don't know. I'm trying to think about how Blizzard would use those.
I mean, one of the things about the Legion Mage Tower is it really highlighted the difference between tanks in terms of self-sustain. Something like Blood DK, you only needed to use the Velen orbs for the disorient. That's all you used it for. You didn't need it for any other purpose. Something like Brewmaster, you were relying on those for the full heal. Like, yeah, you'd be going in trying to use them when you were, you know, about to die, so that you would get a full heal out of it because you needed the sustain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, going to happen again. I think on the whole, self-sustain is down across tanks. Brewmaster is up, but that's only because Brewmaster is at basically zero in Legion.
I do remember that being an issue when I did it, that's for sure.
So yeah, it's something where I do think they could learn some, but at least for tanks and healers, the mage tower challenges are so narrow that you're not going to be able to get a lot of like generalized, like, here's how this plays in the raid, or here's how this plays in the dungeon kind of input. Right. For the DPS classes, though, you could definitely use them to tell which ones have just rotations that feel bad, utility that doesn't really provide much value, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, with the healer one is that it's not very representative of what you do for the majority of fights, right?
Yeah.
Like, very rarely are you relied on for your DPS in terms of, like, specific, maybe in specific moments, but yeah. It is.
Hey, man. Different. We had a shaman, arrest the shaman, using Vesper Totem to clear arrow sets in Sylvanas.
Oh,
that
really?
Shit does damage.
It does.
He's like number 3 damage on arrows or something like that. It's nuts.
Yeah, I made our shaman swap back to Necrolord after him. After he tried to do that, I was like, I literally just need you to heal. Like, I just heal, yeah, more.
Yeah. I mean, we were also, our entire raid was running blood sets, so. We didn't need him to heal more.
Yeah, no, I thought about maybe making some people swap. I will tell you, actually, speaking of shard sets, it's actually really annoying how long it takes to upgrade like your second set, I feel like. So I just now, I need 100 more to get my frost set to all rank 5, and it'll be the second full set I have. And I've not even started on like 2 of the blood gems.
It's funny you say that, because if you've been full clearing heroic this whole time, you can have like 2 of them at least fully maxed out, and like the third one mostly done.
Yeah, I did not raid heroic.
So doing sales for most of it. So I've got like my I think I only have part of the frost set that I haven't done.
Gotcha.
But
all right, fair. I guess that's fair.
Well, I do, that does matter from a catch-up perspective because of how much the upgrades matter. But it is like 4 raid clears basically to get, is it? No. Is what, 50 a week?
Something like that, I want to say.
I think it's actually six clears to get a rank 5.
Yeah. Still, yeah,
seems a like lot. That. 5 to 6. But yeah, it's pretty substantial.
yeah, no, that's for sure. The only thing on Mage Tower is the mount looks super sick. I think I mentioned that, but
the spell tome mount.
Yeah, the spell tome mount.
So this is the other mount from the community choice like vote that they did. We got the tree mount that everybody got. Yeah. So the other option was this tome mount. I'm gonna see if I can find a picture of it real quick, just to show it off. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to though, but it. Oh, you know what else? We forgot. Oh. We forgot something else from 915.
What's that?
All the new customization options for allied races.
Oh, who cares?
Lightforge Draenei get a new mount.
Oh man, I don't. Ugh. All right. Well, see if you can find a picture of the spellbook, and we can talk about. I guess we can talk about.
I mean, I don't think we really need to say much more about the customizations than that. Nightborne got some. They really needed it. Lightforge Draenei really needed it. Those are the two big ones. Yeah. I think they did much better if you look at like Volpera or Mechanomes, Baby Gnomes. They did much better on release with those having a lot of customization options. Mm-hmm. The Nightborne and Lightforge Draenei, they did not. So let me see. Mage Tower.
I forgot about the mount. Yeah, they do get a new mount. Lightforge Draenei do. That'll be cool, actually. Maybe I'll. No. I don't have a Lightforge Draenei. Could be difficult. But no, I think, I mean, as you pull this up, if we can find it quick, the mount, super cool looking. And yeah,
can't
I mean,
find actual pictures of it. I can find concept art of it.
There's in the official preview that's linked in the notes, there's a video of it, so, a little bit lower down the page.
Okay. Can you link that to me?
Yeah.
But before we talk about that, this is depressing. I Googled Mage Tower Mount, and like the number three link on Google is Mage Tower Soaring spell tone boost for, I'm not going to list the amount. It is over $100.
Jesus. Yeah, why would you boost that, dude? Just kind of hang. Well, you know what? Let's not. That's something we didn't talk about that actually happened last week that I didn't really put on there, but the whole Mike Ybarra tweet about selling.
About boosting. Yeah, I thought about messaging. It mostly blew over on Reddit on like Monday. Yeah. But the whole boosting thing.
It's whatever. Like, it's such
I have opinions on it, and I don't think that Ybarra is really like, Ybarra is just doing what high end players do.
Yeah.
Like, this has been. And people are complaining about it like it's a new thing. When we have people in Guild that have been raiding since vanilla that were selling, you know, Molten Core raid spots in vanilla.
No, I mean, I've literally been a part of doing that stuff. Like, I spent gold I made from doing Molten Core runs so that I wouldn't have to buy the Warlock items to get my Warlock mount. I just paid another Warlock to open the instance for me.
Oh man.
So like the final, I don't know if you did the Warlock mount quest back in the day, but
I didn't do it, but I know that it's a huge long quest chain at the end. There's an instanced version.
You need to do Dire Maw.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the problem is to summon the demon to kill him is like, at the time it was probably like 600 or 700 gold worth of, which doesn't sound like a lot today, but it was back then.
Yeah.
Gold worth of item. So it was like, I just paid another Warlock that already done it like half that amount. I paid him like 300 gold or something. To basically run the instance with me, summon the boss, and then I can still loot the item you need from the boss. So
yeah,
that sort of like boosting has always been a problem. I don't know. It's like people sort of try to equate, like now they bring in the fact that like there's a WoW token. So technically Blizzard's supporting like real money trading and they're just getting a piece of it.
I do think the WoW token is bad. I would be happy if the WoW token went away. But I think that I would only be happy about that if there were a corresponding like massive decrease in service prices. Like, I don't think I would ever transfer a character if I couldn't pay for it with WoW tokens. I would rather quit the game than pay $25 to transfer a character.
Like, yeah.
That's just me.
And my thing is, I don't mind the WoW token. And so, like, I don't see, to my point, like, I've never equated the WoW token to being the type of thing where you do, like, real money trading, right?
Yeah, I don't really think, I agree with you. I don't think it's really that. I think it's, so there's this problem that WoW still has server-based economies. For better or worse, it still has server-based economies.
Mm-hmm.
But the transfer of gold from server to server through sales and through WoW tokens disrupts that economy. It means that, for example, on my realm that does not have the population to really support a decent economy anymore, we can have items that still cost prices that are similar to what they might be on Area 52 or something without actually having the economy to make that make sense. Because you can't. Yeah. It's this weird intersection between the fact that we still have server-based economies and the WoW token just like not caring about. Like, I can buy a WoW token on Terralian and somebody else pays gold for it on Silvermoon. So
yeah. I mean, I guess that point makes sense because I hadn't heard anybody bring that up, but yeah, most of the points that I saw, particularly in the Reddit firestorm and Twitter firestorm, was this like
nonsense.
Blizzard absolute supports nonsense. Real money trading based on like having a token. And then like, this is why we have gold spam. And I'm like, number one, we've always had,
did you play Classic?
Like that's not a new thing. It's like, I agree. That's annoying. That's a part of the game that sucks. Like the group finder sucks. Right. But like, the hate that Mike got is just like so weird to me, because it's like this type of stuff, like the bigger issue that I see with boosting in general is the popularity of it, right? Yes. And to be fair, the popularity of it is based on the Race for World First and that becoming more popular, because like if you think about I think MOP challenge modes is probably the first time that I thought that like boosting was coming a little bit more mainstream, right? But once you start like televising or sort of streaming the Race for World First, and the fact that like you realize these guilds are spending so much money, then you're like, well, they're going to keep streaming their raids afterwards. And then why are they doing four raids? like, oh, because they have buyers in these raids, and they're like, what's a buyer? And it's like, oh, it's someone who pays gold to get items from like these guilds. And it's like, so that's what boosting is. And like, that's sort of, to me, where like the actual potential issue that people have with boosting is they can watch other people spend a bunch of gold to get all the items that they're like working so hard to get. And yes, like, I don't know.
That's, I think that is legitimate. Like, I guess what you just described is like definitely part of the issue.
Yeah. But, and I guess to me, it's just like, Mike is like, just or, because, or sorry.
When I say part of the issue, I mean, part of the reason people are upset, not necessarily a problematic element in itself.
Yeah. And so to me, it's like, I don't understand why people got upset with Mike, because like Max tweets the same thing, or like anybody from Echo tweets the same thing, or like, you know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah,
he's just another person who clears Mythic, and like his guild does sales, so like he gets a portion of that gold. Like,
yeah,
it's no different. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I, that whole like non-drama thing is just, I thought it was more annoying than anything, because I'm like,
can you talk like, about something that matters?
Yeah. Also, like, have you been playing this game at all for the past 15 years? Because like, this is probably the most tame it has been, because it's very structured. It's like, gold gets traded at a certain amount. You go, there's like a community built around it. You can get blacklisted from that community if you try and screw someone over. If you have a bad experience, there's a way to report it, which is much different than in Classic, where you would trade gold away and maybe you got the item, or you'd give somebody $100 over PayPal and maybe they get you what you want, or you have to try and figure out a way to charge back the $100. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was much more of a little bit more of a Wild West back then. So that's why I don't mind the current iteration of it.
I think it also is more mainstream because of the communities. The boosting communities both have like very highly structured advertising wings.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, advertising both in the sense of like advertising and trade chat, trying to get buyers, but also trying to get guilds involved. Right. And that means that like, we didn't do, my guild didn't do sales really until Nyalotha. Or well, my raid team, the other raid team did. But we didn't do sales really until Nyalotha, but we started doing them, you know, like deep in Nyalotha farm, and we're still coasting on the gold from that, honestly.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But the existence of these communities brings it to guilds that otherwise might not really think about, oh, we could boost.
Right. Yeah. And it's to be fair, it's like, quote unquote, safe, right? Like, you're going to get a buyer who you know is going to pay. And like, the buyer knows that like, if you don't get them what they want, or like, you don't do what you're supposed to, then like, they get their gold back. And there's sort of a trust on both sides with like some neutral third party in the middle. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm perfectly fine with it, to be fair. Like, I get the token and there's probably some other economic impacts, but I don't think that's like specific to boosting will occur regardless. Yeah. It'll just be a little bit shadier and probably a little bit less safe for people like a normal player to do it. So
yeah. I think honestly, the biggest reason that people are upset about it is not actually because of boosting, and it's actually because of the overall like kind of decline in population in WoW over the past year. Because I don't think the volume of boosting has really gone down. If anything, it might have even gone up.
Oh, yeah.
But the volume of the rest of people doing this content has gone down. And I don't think that's a out there statement to make. Like, it's gone down pretty significantly. And some of that's normal. Like, the first patch of the expansion is always the best populated. It's always the most people. This happened in Legion. This happened in MoP. This happened in Wrath. Actually, Wrath is maybe the only expansion that really like defies this, with every patch being like more people playing than the last one.
Right.
But it like, there's fewer people doing the content that aren't boosting it, but the same number of people that are boosting it. So it's way more visible than it would otherwise be.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, people being mad about it, Blizzard having 5 years to get boosting out of the group finder and failing.
That's I can, and to be fair, if that was the issue, like 100% there with those people.
I can understand being mad about that one.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. Like, that's ridiculous. So, I mean, but like, people are lumping all this. I feel like to me, at least the Reddit thread that I read through in any detail,
it was lumping
all those three together. And then just being like, Mike supports all this, or Yubara supports all this. And I'm just like, it's not what's happening. Like, you're literally throwing issues into a pot that like don't even belong there. So.
Yeah, I mean, Berthier's got a comment in chat. Once something like boosting exists, it won't go away. the sooner people accept it, the better for their inner peace. I mean, he's right. And I mean, it has been a thing since even before WoW. People boosted in pre-WoW MMOs too. It's been a thing since multiplayer games have existed. Like people boosted in Diablo too.
Diablo 2. There was whole economies built around getting people items or very
similar. We talked about this a little bit last week when we were talking about the Diablo 3 auction house stuff.
Yeah,
this is not a new thing. It's not a unique to WoW thing. People boost currently in Final Fantasy. But I mean, I think there's two elements to the problem. One of them is what Blizzard does to, deal with people boosting.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is how easy it is to actually do the content without being boosted.
Right. Yeah.
And the content in Final Fantasy is just at a base level. Most of the content is easier than clearing Mythic in WoW. Even clearing Heroic in WoW is harder than a lot of content in Final Fantasy. So people just don't even think about boosting, because why would they when they can just go do it?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so there's probably a lot of other factors too. WoW being a longer game, so there's just a lot more gold in the economy, and the idea of people being able to if you played it all during Warlords of Draenor, you might still be sitting on that gold. Like I'm still sitting on a couple million from back then, right? That just weirdly enough, every expansion I'll spend 500,000-600,000 gold at the beginning of it, and then slowly build back up to what I had. But and the really never fluctuate. Like I'll end an expansion the same way. I ended the previous one, right, ever since WoW in terms of gold numbers. Yeah. So
I will say my biggest expenditure in WoW, aside from getting the long boy in BFA, which I got with gold from boosting, my biggest expenditure in WoW is probably doing gambling in guild, in raid. we had somebody who lost about 1 million gold this week. That was fun.
Nice.
They had a net positive overall. And then they ended up being 800k net negative after a single roll. Because they did a million gold roll and he had to pay somebody 950k.
Jesus. That's rough. That is rough. Oh man.
That is also something that's been around since Classic. So
used to be actually add-ons that you let you do it, not just the random rolls. So people play poker in game. So
yeah. You remember the Bejeweled add-on?
I did. Played Peggle. Bejeweled and Peggle. Peggle used to be in the game. Peggle was fun.
Yeah.
Play that all the time on break. So, well, cool. Yeah. I think so. I guess we talked about the Yabara thing. I didn't really want to, but I guess we sort of hit on the boosting stuff anyway here at the end.
Yeah.
Quick aside. Was there anything else? I guess the only thing we didn't talk about in 9.15 that's coming, but we have talked about it previously, is Legion Mythic Plus. So whenever there's Legion time walking, there'll be Legion Mythic Plus will be active. And so
I don't think I really have that much more to say about it. The only thing I have to say about that and the Mage Tower is it's not actually active until the beginning of December.
Yeah, because that's when the next Legion time walking is. So it's not active next week. So we have a month, basically.
Yeah, kind of disappointed in that.
Yeah, which if we do a quick recap in the final 10 minutes, that's literally the only new content, the only new content, I'll say, to do. And it's going to be a month after the patch hits.
I'm a little bit surprised they didn't go for the Tazavesh turning that into a Mythic Plus instance in this minor patch as well.
I'm really speculating that 9.2, we're gonna get another WoD situation here. I'm almost doesn't make sense.
I think at this point you're right.
9.2 is the end, and then maybe they take what 9.3, assuming they're continuing the systematic three major raid releases, right? Whatever was in 9.3 becomes a part of the 10.0 story, right? I think you almost have to think it, because that's, I think somebody put the stats where we will get over the past 2 years, one major content patch in WoW. Since the release of 9.0, 9.1, and now this patch,
there's been one major content release in the past year. That's right.
Yeah.
So 9.0 came out in November last year. It is November next week.
Yeah.
So that is definitely an issue.
Yeah, which is just, they need, understanding Blizzard's going through some stuff, but at the same time, you have a customer base here that, you got it. Now, the bigger problem that they have now is that they have to pull people back in, right? Which is so hard, considering how well people have been on Final Fantasy. New World with all of its issues, has still pulled a bunch of people away, right? Yeah. And like it will continue. Like there's another MMO coming up here. What is it?
Ashes of Creation.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's like the third person, like the isometric MMO from coming out of I think it's Japan or China. Oh, what's the name of it? I forget. But it's almost like a mobile MMO. But you can play
it. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's like if they made Dota 2 into an MMO. So it's like that.
Interesting. Yeah, your description of like Eastern isometric MMO is really not doing a whole lot.
Yeah, so I also don't remember. But however, that's also coming. I'm actually kind of excited about that one. Okay. Because it's something like 25 or 30 person raid bosses. So they actually have like raids in it. So in any event, yeah, I mean, I really hope I'm right about this whole WoD situation where like 9.2 is the final one and we get like a 9.2 announcement in BlizzCon coming up, right? About what that looks like, hopefully soon.
Oh, right. BlizzCon line in like January, right?
January, February. Yeah. I forget when the actual date is. But we get that right after the holidays and then we get sort of a 10.0 over the summer, right? Or even during that BlizzCon online, be like, hey, 9.2 plus quick preview of 10.0 because it's coming, right?
Yeah. Or the other thing I could see them doing, and this is honestly the way that I kind of hope it goes, is we get a 9.2 in January, February, realistically like February, March. And we get a 9.2.5 with like a mini raid, maybe a dungeon. And that's just like to tide us over so that we don't have the 400 days of HFC kind of thing going on.
Yeah, because I mean, it'll be that long. It'll feel like we're going to be in Sanctum for a long time, right? Because we're not getting a new raid before the first of the year. And so, to be fair, maybe at the end of the first quarter.
Sanctum came out in July.
Yeah. Wait, only in July?
Or 9.1 came out in July. Sanctum came out Sanctum came out in July. 9.1 came out end of June.
Gotcha. Okay. Summer, yeah. So yeah, it'll be six, 7 months, which isn't too bad.
January would be 6 months.
Yeah. So not too bad, but it feels longer for some reason, I'll tell you, than that.
But yeah. I think it'll be because the rate is so weirdly paced. But
yeah, that's true. That is true. That is true.
Anyway, that is gonna be it for our show today. Thank you all for coming and hanging out and listening. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, to talk about whatever is happening. I don't know exactly what we have on the docket for next week, but we'll figure something out. But anyway, that is it for the show today. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want to support it and all the other work that we do over at the Peak of Serenity, you can do that by going over to our Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. And of course, you are welcome to come and join our Discord, which is one of the best places in the WoW community, I will say. Brew Lounge, single-handedly the best channel in the Discord. Come check it out. Even if you don't tank, it's a good place. Better than Miss Lounge by a fair margin.
I'll agree to that. I'll agree to that lately.
That's it for the show today. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.